Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Air pollution, deforestation, drilling in Alaska, these issues are familiar terrain for the Sierra Club. But these days, the country's oldest national environmental group is grappling with some very different issues, immigration and an alleged takeover attempt of the club itself. Officially, the Sierra Club is neither pro nor anti-immigration, but five candidates in its upcoming board election want to change that. The United States population is exploding, threatening the country's environment and way of life, they say, and immigration is largely to blame. If elected, these candidates say they will put the Sierra Club and its $95 million budget behind immigration limits. Not so fast, say current club leadership. There are other ways, they say, to deal with population and its impact. And besides, they say, these anti-immigration candidates aren't all they appear to be. In reality, say current board president Larry Fahn and others, these course-changing candidates are being backed by far-right anti-immigration groups desperate to have a powerful liberal group like the Sierra Club on their side. Tonight on Point, civil war at the Sierra Club and the over the environment and immigration. We begin tonight in Los Angeles, where LA Times staff writer Miguel Bustillo is covering the club's internal struggle. Miguel, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So we want to get the background, but this is headed toward a turning point soon. When is the election scheduled, and what does it look like might happen?
Well, the election is already underway. The way this election works is that Sierra Club members, all 750,000 of them, have an opportunity to vote, and they can vote either by mail or via internet. And the results will probably not be known until the end of next month. But the election's already underway, and as you've heard, it's already quite controversial.
And the issue is, who will end up with the majority of board members on the 15-member board?
That's correct. There are five seats at stake. There are already three members on the board that support immigration control, and thus, if the five members who are elected also support that viewpoint, they will form a new majority on the board.
Miguel, give us the background to this. How did the Sierra Club come to be embroiled in such a deep debate over immigration?
Well, it's interesting. The issue of population control has been an environmental issue for some time. Environmental groups since the early 1960s have been debating the question of the world population and whether it was a threat to the environment. And generally speaking, most environmental organizations advocate global population control because they believe that it is. And that issue has been roiling for a long time. Not everyone supports that in the environmental movement, but a good number of people think that the world population is a concern. Where you get to a more divisive question is when you start looking at it nationally and whether some people think that you need to do something about the American population growth problem. That's where it becomes more controversial. The Sierra Club, for a long time, had a position on population control, and in the 1990s decided to become neutral on that question, and that became very controversial.
Now, is that neutrality, Miguel, on world population or U.S. population?
I think it was on U.S. population, and I think what happened is that some people were outraged that they took that position. Mm-hmm. Some people within the Sierra Club thought, how could you not take a position on American population? This is an issue. We're seeing urban sprawl. We're seeing all of these effects on wildlife. And people are to blame for a lot of these things. And therefore, they thought it was irresponsible of an environmental organization not to take a position on population. The thing that became divisive was not merely population, of course, but the issue of immigration, which is one of the driving forces behind the population growth that we're seeing in the United States. And I think it was the growing influence of that issue and the divisiveness of the immigration issue that led the Sierra Club to become neutral on the question.
What is the position that the candidates for the board concerned about immigration. What's the position they would like the Sierra Club to take compared to its current neutral position?
Well, they essentially believe that the Sierra Club needs to advocate that the United States should stabilize its population and that it should do so by strongly and strictly curbing immigration into the country, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, reason why the population is growing at the rate that it is. Last week, the U.S. Census Bureau predicted that by mid-century, the United States would be a country of 420 million people, mm-hmm. and immigration has a whole lot to do with that, immigrants coming to the country and then having children. So I think what they would like is for the United States to lead by example on this global issue of population control, and to do so by controlling the American population.
And starting or putting immigration very high on that. Now, what about the charge that we're hearing from within the Sierra Club? And I think some 13 former presidents have joined in saying this, that this is not a kind of organic sea change within the Sierra Club, but rather a hijacking of the organization. What's the basis for those charges?
Well, it's certainly true that some of the candidates running for the Sierra Club board have not been very active in the Sierra Club up to now. Some of them, in fact, just recently joined the Sierra Club. And thus the accusation is that these folks are trying to take over the Sierra Club and bring an agenda to the Sierra Club that isn't part of the club now. I would say that's only partly true. While it's true that they are newcomers to leadership issues in the Sierra Club, they wouldn't be able to amass any kind of support for this if there weren't in the Sierra Club a lot of people who didn't support their issue. And in fact, there are. It's been an issue of controversy in the Sierra Club for years.
We've heard concern about this from some unexpected quarters. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups in the United States, has made a lot of noise about what's happening at the Sierra Club. Why would they be involved or interested here?
Well, they apparently do a lot of tracking of anti-immigrant groups because they contend that a lot of those groups foster hate views and are aligned with hate groups. And that's their primary mission, to monitor hate groups. And their interest in this election is primarily that they believe some of those groups are attempting to gain influence within the Sierra Club. Quite frankly, I haven't seen any concrete evidence of that. What we have seen is that some far-right and groups that have anti-immigrant agendas and frankly, some groups that have very ugly racist and anti-Semitic agendas have kind of gravitated to this election and written things on the Internet in support of some of the candidates and whatnot. But that is quite different, of course, from the candidates themselves being in any way aligned with those forces.
Is there evidence that members of those hate groups are joining the Sierra Club in significant numbers to sway the election or not?
Well, that's a question that I was very interested in, and I have tried to get from the Sierra Club information about their membership and to see whether there had been any sizable increase in the membership or decrease or whatnot. And the fact is that it apparently has not changed very much. But it's hard to tell from that, you know, whether certain people quit over this and other people joined. What's clear is that there hasn't been a huge change at the club in terms of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people joining.
And finally, Miguel, quickly, when will we know the results of this election?
It'll be at the end of April, the mid to end of April. I think it's around the 21st of April that the election ends, but it remains to be seen how long it'll take to tally the results.
Got it. Miguel Bustillo, thanks so much for the overview.
Hey, my pleasure.
Miguel Bustillo is a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times. He spoke with us from Los Angeles. We are talking tonight about what looks like a civil war at the Sierra Club in the battle over the environment and immigration. You can join the conversation. Should America's oldest national environmental group be focused on immigration as a top threat to the U.S. environment? Does this sound like a hijacking to you or an appropriate priority for the Sierra Club? Where do you rank population growth as a threat to the U.S. environment? What is really going on here? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is Robert Cox, professor of communications and ecology at the University of North Carolina, a Sierra Club board member and former two-term president of the Sierra Club. Robert Cox, thanks for joining us.
Well, Tom, thanks for having me on.
And joining us from Denver, Colorado, is Richard Lamb, a former three-term Democratic governor of Colorado and a current Sierra Club board candidate. Good evening and welcome, Richard Lamb.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us. Robert Cox, first to you, if I may. There are disputing views of what's going on here with the Sierra Club. How do you interpret what the club is in the midst of right now in this election battle for, apparently, for control of the board?
Well, let's clear up one thing Miguel just said. The Sierra Club is not, nor has it ever been, neutral on population or even on U.S. population.
Okay.
In 1996, it decided it would stay out of the immigration wars, which Miguel just pointed out correctly, it's an explosive issue in U.S. politics. Rather, the Sierra Club has chosen to address some of the root causes of population growth, both globally and in the United States. And I hope that's something we can really have a good conversation about, because this is an important policy difference. On the other hand, Miguel's quite correct. The Sierra Club leaders were somewhat surprised last fall when the Southern Poverty Law Center wrote to the president of the Sierra Club, and it sounded an alarm. Let me just read what this law center pointed out. Mm. By the way, I've grown up in the South, and issues of race are worrisome to anyone that has seen this face up close. The Southern Poverty Law Center wrote to Larry Fawn, our president, quote, "Without a doubt, the Sierra Club is the subject of a hostile takeover by attempts associated with a variety of right-wing extremists. By taking advantage of the welcoming grassroots democratic structure of the Sierra Club that allows almost any candidate to run by petition, they hope to use the credibility of the club as a cover to advance rather extremist views, and we think your members should be alert to this." We then noticed that the leaders of some of the largest anti-immigration groups in the United States suddenly were showing up among the petition candidates just joining and announcing they were going to run for the board of directors of the Sierra Club, Mr. Lamb and four of his colleagues. I think Dick Lamb's a good man with a strong background, but he and his colleagues know very little about the Sierra Club's organization, its board, and frankly, its population program, which I think has been terribly misrepresented. So we are concerned. One of these anti-immigrant leaders has already announced, he's already on the board, Paul Watson, that his intent is to recruit and to seize control of the board and therefore get control of its budget and its credibility to advance some of these issues. So we are quite concerned.
Richard Lamb, you're there in Denver. You're director now of the University of Denver's Center for Public Policy and Contemporary Issues. You're author of The Immigration Time Bomb, The Fragmenting of America. What is your interpretation of what's going on with the Sierra Club?
Well, Tom, there's always been a variety of views on immigration, as you know. There's the on the conservative side, there's the Wall Street Journal view that there should be no borders. There's the Pat Buchanan viewpoint. And then on the liberal side, there's the sort of the world is all one place and there should be no borders. And then there's my view, and I think a majority of the Sierra Club's view, that you can't escape population as an environmental problem. You know, you look at every ecology book, every environmental book. Population is an integral part of the environment. And when you look at population in the United States, it's an immigration issue, because we have a choice in the United States. We can either stabilize our population or on the current immigration thing, we can double it and double it again. We're looking at a possibility of 1 billion people in America at the end of this century. And to say that that isn't an environmental issue, to me, defies imagination.
If you and your slate win election to the Sierra Club's board, do you intend to change its policy to push for tighter borders?
Tom, there's no slate here. I'm not running with anybody else. I've been an environmental attorney first. I've been an environmental governor. I have been interested in population. I do not want to leave my grandchildren in America of 1 billion people. So I would like to, what I'm trying to do is restore the population position of the Sierra Club that that they went away from in an act of political correctness back in 1996. Let me read to you what it is.
Richard Lamb, just hold that if you would. We've got to take a break. We'll come right back and hear it. I'm joined tonight by former Colorado Governor Richard Lamb, candidate for the board of the Sierra Club, and former Sierra Club President Robert Cox. We're talking about a civil war at the Sierra Club over the environment and immigration. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are talking tonight about a civil war, or at least what looks that way, at the Sierra Club over the environment and immigration. My guests tonight are Robert Cox, professor of communications and ecology at the University of North Carolina, a Sierra Club board member and two-time president of the Sierra Club, most recently 2000-2001. He joins us from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. From Denver, we're joined by Richard Lamb, three-term Democratic governor of Colorado, author of The Immigration Time Bomb, The Fragmenting of America, and currently a candidate for the Sierra Club board. We'll let him describe his view, but generally he would like to see restraints on immigration to the United States. He says, for environmental reasons, you can join the conversation tonight. Should America's oldest national environmental group be focused on immigration as a top threat to the U.S. environment? Does this sound like a hijacking, a hostile takeover, or an appropriate priority for the Sierra Club? And are you a member? Are you aware of this battle royal going on? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Richard Lemon, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you just before the break. You were about to read a statement of the Sierra Club's. Remind us?
Yes, actually, the pre-1996, the position was to bring about the stabilization of population, first in the United States and then of the world. I'm trying to restore that kind of policy. To me, to have the Sierra Club ignore population is like the American Cancer Society saying, ignoring smoking, or the women's movement ignoring equal pay for equal work. It is absurd. Of course, it's a an environmental issue if America doubles its population and then doubles it again. We're now taking four times as many immigrants as when I entered the Colorado legislature in the 1960s, and I believe that the Sierra Club ought to stand up and not be so politically correct and recognize that both population and immigration are environmental issues.
Is there, Richard Lamb, a quote-unquote, as the Southern Poverty Law Center put it, a hostile takeover going on here with connections to what they characterized as right-wing and potentially racist groups?
Tom, you know, the history of immigration in the United States is filled with xenophobia and racism. You can't say that it isn't. All you have to do is look at the whole 1924 McCarran Act. I think, however, that, that one of the other people running for the board of the Sierra Club is Frank Morris, a black man who's the former executive director of the Congressional Black Caucus. Our family marched in Selma. I'm an old civil rights lawyer, and I organized the NAACP at the University of California. This is such a red herring by people who are trying to hold on to power in the Sierra Club that I'm outraged by it. You cannot take all people that are interested in immigration and say they're racist, and that's what these people are trying to do.
Robert Cox, there's a pretty tough response to the hostile takeover characterization.
Well, I think it's important to point out that no one's called Dick Lamb a racist. Certainly I haven't, no member of the Sierra Club leadership that I know of. I think that's an outrageous statement. The problem is these very groups that Mr. Lamb himself just mentioned that are not only rallying behind his slate, but frankly, some of his principal backers have gone to these racist websites in order to recruit for him. Miguel said a moment ago he hadn't seen concrete evidence. Well, let me give you some. One of these groups that the New York Times just outed last Tuesday is www.vdare.com. Believes that the United States has drifted into a multicultural society. It denigrates blacks on this site. And one of the principal backers of Mr. Lamb's slate from inside this insurgent Sierra Club group, Brenda Walker, has posted a recruitment notice for Mr. Lamb on this website asking people to join the Sierra Club to vote in this election. And in fact, we just got the membership statistics for the month of January, and the membership did shoot up, an additional 7,000 members coming in, above normal, I would point out. The backing that he has from this insurgent group inside the Sierra Club, Suspice, has posted racist websites on its own homepage. Groups like Stalking the Wild Taboo, which argue that blacks have less intelligence. So I think it's very important that candidates for this wonderful organization simply denounce this kind of support. And these are not people that just drift in by accident. These are Mr. Lamb's backers inside the Sierra Club that are going out to recruit among these dreadful websites. Now, I would also point out that we take the environment quite seriously here, and the U.S. population itself is something we are trying to address. The U.S. has one of the highest birth rates among all industrial countries. Europe has cut its birth rates. The U.S. needs to do a far better job in cleaning up its own act, but we can best do that through education and also addressing the causes that fuel migration across borders by dealing with issues such as U.S. trade policy, access to family planning. The Bush administration is cutting money for family planning. Just yesterday, the U.S. Census report indicated 100 million women in the world want access to family planning, and the Bush administration is cutting this right now. So there are a number of programs we can join together here to address some of the root causes of this problem.
Robert Cox, I want to give Richard Lamb a chance to respond to everything you've just laid out, but let me ask you one thing off of his observations earlier. Is it possible to responsibly address environmental pressures without looking directly at immigration? I didn't hear you mention among the ways of addressing population pressure right now. Is or has the Sierra Club been PC, politically correct, in not wanting to touch that, or is it not an issue in your mind? And if not, why not?
No, it's a very substantive issue. You can't address long-term ecological sustainability with short-term Band-Aid effects like pulling up the drawbridge at the Rio Grande River. The root causes that drive desperately poor people to cross borders in the search of a better life will not be addressed simply by closing the border. So the Sierra Club has rolled out a robust program that not only guarantees access to family planning, birth control methods, but women's literacy program, which the UN Cairo Conference on Population said is one of the highest variables in ensuring lower birth rights in many of these countries. So we look at what fuels immigration into the country, and then we do a better job educating U.S. citizens about family planning and cut our own birth rate.
But even as a stopgap measure, and that we're talking in environmental terms, you would not support tighter controls on immigration?
Look, it's not poor campesino farmers in the fields in California that are causing America's environmental problems. Mm-hmm. The biggest source of this problem is George Bush. And this problem, frankly, with the Sierra Club controversy, is diverting us from the work we need to do right now to get this man out of office.
Richard Lamb, some pretty tough allegations there from Robert Cox at the top of those remarks, saying that you, whether you like it or not, are associated with, are supported by people that sound xenophobic at best and racist at worst.
Well, Tom, what you're hearing, I think, is a terrific example of Joe McCarthyism brought up to date. I am being blamed for people I've never heard of, organizations that I've never heard of. I had a black lieutenant governor. I've appointed the first in Colorado's history. I've appointed the first black cabinet head, the first Hispanic cabinet head. And all of a sudden, these yahoos are going out and accusing a bunch of us, including the black former executive director of the Congressional Caucus, of being backed by racists and right-wing bigots. This is incredible. It's like me accusing, like saying the Sierra Club takes Ford Foundation money and Henry Ford was an anti-Semite, so that it must be an anti-Semite. Or saying there's vegetarians on the board of the Sierra Club and Hitler was a vegetarian, so they must be a bunch of Nazis. This is totally irresponsible. And what it is a small clique of people trying to keep the power and keep the $100 billion budget and keep away from what is indispensably one of the most important environmental issues facing America. I'm just outraged at these kind of accusations.
We will pick up this charge of environmental McCarthyism with Robert Cox. But let me ask you, Richard Lamb, how you hold this immigration position in your own hands, in your own mind. I know that the environmental concern is not the only concern that you have publicly expressed around immigration. You've expressed concern over the difficulties of bilingual countries, of countries with ethnic diversity fairly recently, talking about, I think, a recent speech saying, history shows that no nation can survive the tension, conflict, and antagonism of two or more competing languages and cultures. That sounds like a critique of immigration that is not necessarily rooted at all in environmentalism.
Yeah, I think that one of the real great issues is how do we keep America as one country? I think that the melting pot has worked in America because we're not Irish and Swedish and Jewish and everything else. We're Americans. And I think that part of the indispensable part of being one nation is, in fact, being able to speak one language. And I think it's very much of a concern that in here in Colorado, you can live your entire life in West Denver, in East Los Angeles, in California, and never speak English. So we do have another related problem, and that's how do we make these people American? And I think it's a very valid issue. I think that a lot of people are very concerned about the numbers. It isn't the question isn't where people come from. It's how, in fact, can we assimilate them into our society and incorporate them into our economy. But let me just
on that point. I mean, we understand people can hold more than one reason for having a position, but that position does beg the question in your candidacy for the board of the Sierra Club, whether you are running for that position primarily out of concern for the environmental impact of population and immigration, or is this a backdoor way to get at these issues of diversity and multiculturalism that concern you?
Well, let's ask ourselves that. I think I was the second president of ZPG after Paul Ehrlich. I was the chief sponsor of the first liberalized abortion law anyplace. I risked my whole political career. My wife and I, Tom, came back from India in 1967, vowing to make a big part of our lives the question of population. And we have done so. My wife was a delegate both to Cairo and Beijing, appointed by President Clinton. We, in fact, have been fighting for stabilization of population. But the fact is that it isn't the only issue involved in immigration. And the same political correctness that keeps us from talking about immigration also, I think, prevents us from talking about some of the other issues that do revolve around immigration.
Well, there it is. There's more to talk about there, particularly on the best way of addressing global population issues. But we've got a lot of callers who want to join us. I want to invite them in. Scott is calling from Cambridge, Wisconsin. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
I've been a member of Sierra Club since 1988, and I would consider myself, and I have no problem saying it, I consider myself liberal. I work for a lot of liberal causes. I send a lot of money to liberal candidates. But in this issue, I think the club is wrong. And the SUSPS, SUSPS, whatever you want to talk about or phrase it as, or whatever the name they'd like to use, I became familiar with a couple years ago.
What are you referring to there with that acronym or abbreviation?
Sierrans, I can't remember the name. It's the group that's basically organizing to try and bring immigration, the topic
to limit immigration.
Okay.
And are you saying let's limit immigration or not?
Yes, I very much support the efforts. In fact, I just think that unless we address this issue, we're never going to make any headway at all. And the idea that I'm somehow being duped by a right wing group is just incredible. There's absolutely no possibility that's happening. I believe that this is a rational thing to do, is to talk about this issue. You know, there are countries in Europe that don't have the type of immigration policy that we have, and no one accuses them of being xenophobes.
Let me just ask you, Scott, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which raised this charge, is no mean organization. They've tracked hate groups for many years. If it emerged that, in fact, some of the support for this position within the Sierra Club was supported by hate groups, would that give you pause? Would it change your mind or not?
You know, whatever drives them to behave the way they do, I have no interest in. You know, whatever motivates them, I really don't care. I'm concerned about environmental issues that this country must address in the near term. And, you know, it doesn't take a long time to do the research on this. I mean, when you talk about native-born birth rates as compared to non-native-born birth rates, it becomes obvious.
Let us pick that up, if I may, and turn to Robert Cox, a current board member of the Sierra Club. Robert Cox here is a Sierra Club member who says he's hearing this call of concern over U.S. immigration. What do you say to him?
Well, Dick Lamb just mentioned Paul Ehrlich, one of his mentors, a moment ago. So let's look at this issue of the priority of immigration in our current environmental battles and the problem with the Bush administration. Paul Ehrlich, of course, is the author of The Population Bomb.
Right.
Some consider him the father of concern about growing population in the world. Professor Ehrlich just emailed me recently and authorized a statement to be read when we get into this kind of debate. And let me just read it. It's very brief. He said, the Sierra Club faces a major challenge in trying to get rid of the Bush administration, which is fighting a very successful war on the environment, women, international peace, civil liberties, and science, while allowing our national military and environmental security to be degraded. Professor Ehrlich then said, I urge all members of the Sierra Club, including Scott, I assume, not to vote for any board candidates who take the position that the Sierra Club should once again get involved in immigration issues. Immigration is of secondary importance in the big picture. It is extremely divisive, and fighting over immigration policy nearly destroyed the Sierra Club's effectiveness once. He said it cannot be allowed to happen again by electing people to the board whose purpose is to overthrow this neutrality policy. We shouldn't be battling each other, he said, when our main task must be to end the worst administration environmentally in the history of our nation. So let's try to find some way to deal not with a poor campesino who comes across the border looking for a better life, but the Bush administration that is gutting our Clean Air Act, selling off our forest, and stick with the Sierra Club's core conservation mission.
Scott, there's the message from one Sierra Club board member, and off it goes with you. Richard Lamb, here's your mentor or predecessor in any case, Paul Ehrlich, being quoted saying this is immigration's a secondary issue, divisive, and taking the Sierra Club's eye off the main problems here. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that that's the issue. I think that Paul Ehrlich is entitled to his opinion, and he's a giant. He's the one that originally came up with this famous formula: impact equals population times affluence times technology. I mean, Paul Ehrlich, better than anybody, knows that population is an integral part of, as any environmental book will tell you. And I think that what we're seeing here is, that as Paul said in his statement, we're trying to only go back to where the Sierra Club was before.
But that's not what I heard him say just now. He said stay neutral and don't get off the rails.
He calls it controversial, but my position is the same as Barbara Jordan's position is on immigration. When President Clinton appointed Barbara Jordan to look at the Jordan Commission, she said we should stop illegal immigration. We should cut legal immigration in half. And I think that that's in effect what we're trying to do in this thing. Population can't be avoided when you're looking at environment.
And what about the Bush administration, which Robert Cox says its policies are number one? Are you moving the whole organization's focus off that to the detriment of the environment or not?
I definitely feel that the Sierra Club agenda for the next 8 months ought to be in the political agenda of the United States. We have to elect an environmentally aware president and environmentally aware candidates. I'm totally in agreement with that, and I'm not trying to take us off that message at all.
Wow, this one goes deep. Richard Lamb, Robert Cox, stand by. We're talking tonight about a civil war at the Sierra Club over the environment and immigration. You can join the conversation. Where do you rank population as a threat to the U.S. environment? Is it environmental McCarthyism to question the motives of anti-immigration environmentalists? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about a civil war at the Sierra Club over the environment and immigration. You can join our conversation tonight. There's a claim of hostile takeover on the one hand here. On the other side, would-be board members saying, let's put immigration high on the priority list for this big old environmental organization. What do you think? Is it environmental McCarthyism to question the motives of anti-immigration environmentalists? Can the United States have 420 million residents in 2050 and still have a healthy natural environment? Are a sustainable environment and liberal immigration policies reconcilable? We're at 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm joined by Sierra Club board member and former president, Robert Cox, and by former Colorado governor and candidate for the board of the Sierra Club, Richard Lamb. Anthony is calling from Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Anthony. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
A couple of points. I mean, I guess I would first say that Mr. Lamb's characterization of previous immigrations to the United States, that, you know, Jews and Irish and Italians and Greeks don't think of themselves any longer as being members of those groups, that they all think of themselves as Americans, is incredibly simplistic. And, you know, it's more complicated than that, and it always has been. But perhaps that's an issue for another show. My second point is that by talking about immigration in terms of by trying to frame it as an environmental issue, you're applying national boundaries to a problem that isn't national. That these people are going to live someplace, whether it's here or Mexico or El Salvador or Vietnam, they're still part of what it seems to me is more of a worldwide problem. Now, you could say that by coming here, people become part of American consumer culture, and therefore they consume more, and therefore become more of an environmental problem here than they might be elsewhere. But is that their fault, or is that our fault?
Anthony, stand by. Let me put that to Richard Lamb. Richard Lamb, Anthony's saying by applying national boundaries to a problem that's not national, you're missing the boat on population immigration.
I think he raises a very important point, Tom. I think that, there's 75 million people added to the world every year. And the question is immigration any kind of large-scale answer to that problem? We already take 1 million immigrants, more than all the rest of the world combined. Let's say we double the amount of immigrants coming to the United States. By the way, 85% of Americans think we're already taking too many immigrants. But nevertheless, if we double them, we still are, it's a drop in the ocean. And so I believe I was named Humanitarian of the Year for the work that I've done on Cambodian refugee relief back in 1979. I think immigration is a false solution. Most people are going to grow old where they were born.
But this is not the point Anthony's raising, Richard Lamb, if you'll forgive me. He's saying closing the borders is a false solution to the real environmental issues, which are not national but global.
There are certainly global. Listen, if you, I can't get Americans to cover 40 million people with health care. I've been fighting all my life to try to get people for health care.
An issue, but not an environmental issue.
Well, but wait a minute. But if you don't have borders, you can't make sense of any of these issues. If I have to worry about the whole world's pollution, I'll never be able to get anti-pollution laws. If I have to worry about the whole world's health care, I'll never get health care for unemployed Americans. Borders make a difference. As every house has to have a home, every country has to have a border. And if you're going to say everybody in the world is my brother and sister and has an equal right to come to the United States, I'm never going to be able to build you a decent society. So what I'm saying is I think the role of the United States is to be a model of sustainability, that we should really stabilize our population, reduce our consumption, show the rest of the world what a sustainable society is like, and not open up our borders to all the world.
Anthony, what do you say to that?
He still is not addressing the point, it seems. That if you're worried about getting health care for Americans, then get health care for Americans. I'm not asking you to try to get health care for the globe. That's a separate issue from whether people come here or not, whether they're polluters in their home countries or whether they're polluters here. This seems to be more of an issue of behavior and consumption than it is of where people live on the planet. If you're trying to protect the environment of this country, and we're trying to do that, but take the amount of fossil fuel that the Chinese are burning. If the Chinese continue to burn fossil fuel at the rate that they are, and scientists are right about global warming, no matter how good our clean air laws are in this country, this planet is still in a lot of trouble.
So everybody's saying that everybody else's issue is the red herring here tonight. Anthony, thanks for your call. Robert Cox, how do you look at this issue of national and international issues around environmentalism? Are there issues that are national and that will be made more difficult by the rapidly increasing population, that immigration concern is justified in being applied to or not?
Well, there is a glimmer of some good hope here. Mr. Lamb just mentioned that the Earth adds 75 million people to the globe annually. Actually, the Associated Press today just released a new projection from the Census Bureau that indicate the rate of population growth globally is now slowing. They project it will drop from last year 1.2% growth. That's the 75 million people. But by 2050, they project that that will drop dramatically to 0.4%. In other words, programs are working today. We know what are the root causes of growth in population and those that fuel migration pressures into the United States. The problem is that the Bush administration is cutting the funding that addresses the very causes of immigration that we've been discussing. This is one of the reasons, by the way, that the very progressive group MoveOn.org just emailed its 15 million members a few days ago endorsing the Sierra Club's approach to this problem and calling upon its voter to return the Sierra Club's nominated candidates and not to support Mr. Lamb's slate. By the way, if you want more information on that, you can go to the website www.groundswellsierra.org. A lot of background here on this entire controversy.
But let me ask you just this narrow question. Mr. Lamb and some of his associates are accused of having secondary agendas that they're bringing to the Sierra Club. When you say limiting immigration is not in an important priority in issues of the environment, are you bringing other priorities here? And maybe they're quite appropriate priorities, but are you putting a priority on diversity, on multiculturalism, on the American tradition of immigration that are priorities distinct from a purely environmental perspective or not?
Well, I'm also proud of my Irish heritage, by the way, but you're right. There is another priority here, and that's the defeat of George W. Bush. The primary threat to the environment in this country is not some poor immigrant in the fields, but it's a president who continues to gut our core environmental laws, cut funding for population stabilization programs. And that's the Sierra Club's mission, and that's what Professor Paul Ehrlich is also urging members to keep in mind.
I hear that loud and clear, but I also hear you just slightly ducking the question, which is, would reducing immigration help America's environment or not? And I realize that the very framing may be offensive to you because you've got a broader agenda here, but I ask it anyway.
Well, I mean, I'll speak very honestly and personally. Sierra Club is officially neutral on U.S. immigration. But personally, I don't see how you can legislate fewer immigrants into the country. If immigrants are so desperately poor that they will pay some coyote group in Arizona to cross the border in the middle of the night when their lives are at risk because they desperately want a better life, it doesn't matter what Congress says is the official limit or not. You're going to have these pressures at our border. And so it's far better for long-term ecological sustainability to look at the root causes that force people to migrate in search of a better life.
Mark is calling from Mineral Point, Wisconsin. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
I've been following this issue for a few weeks now, and I listened to an hour-long interview here on Wisconsin Public Radio with a leader of the so-called insurgent slate and the anti-immigration folks. And I initially went into this thinking this sounds great, an insurgent group that's going to shake up the leadership of the Sierra Club, because I felt that they were making some bad decisions endorsing Gore instead of Nader, for example. But when I listened to this representative, who I understand is sort of a spokesperson for the group, she was equivocating constantly about the agenda of this slate of candidates, and she would say that immigration was just one issue, and yet when given the opportunity to talk about other environmental issues, she was astoundingly ignorant about these other issues and kept coming back with zealous comments about stopping the waves of immigration and so on.
And what did that suggest to you, Mark?
It suggests to me that this is a sort of a stealth campaign, that she was not being straightforward with the interviewer or the listeners, and that that actually there is a big right-wing agenda here. And the comments she made about immigration did sound racist, despite her attempts to hide that. And I'd like to add one point about Dick Lamb, because I lived through the Lamb years in Colorado, and I admit that I tended to be around liberals. But Dick Lamb had what we viewed as a very poor record on the environment and social justice, and in particular, issues with ethnicity in the Latino community. So I just want to say that because that's an alternative view from what you've heard so far.
Mark, thanks for calling in. Dick Lamb, there's the concern again that at the end of the day, the immigration, the anti-immigration focus of some of these board members, perhaps not yourself, but some of the candidates for the Sierra Club board may be more concerned with issues other than the environment surrounding immigration.
Well, let me say, I've won every environmental award in the state of Colorado and every brotherhood award in the state of Colorado. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I had come out of the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. I supported busing here in Colorado when it almost cost me my seat in the legislature. I think what we, you know, is air pollution, do we have national laws on air pollution looking at the United States? Of course we do. Do we have water pollution laws looking at the United States? Of course we do. Wilderness areas, we don't legislate about Mexico's wilderness area. We do in the United States. Toxic waste, that's a national problem. So also, Tom, is population. As night is today, population is an environmental issue. Now, we can talk about how many people, who they should be, how are they chosen. Those are important questions. But you can't avoid an environmental organization saying that population isn't an environmental issue.
So if and when the U.S. population reaches 420 million around 2050, as the Census Bureau projects, what are you saying the environmental impact would be?
I think that whether you talk about air pollution, whether you talk about sprawl, whether you talk about pressure on wilderness, whether you talk about almost any environmental agenda there is, can you imagine listen, I've governed the state for 12 years. I can't imagine. That would mean we'd have about 10 to 12 million people in Colorado. You know, we don't have the water. You can go 100 miles from where I'm sitting here tonight, and you can see the wagon wheels of the Oregon Trail that were laid down 140 years ago. Tom, they're still there. They're still there. If they were in your area, they'd be gone in 6 weeks. So I think there is this new issue on sustainability. The United States has got to ask itself, how many people can we sustain? And I can tell you here in the West, the worst thing in the world we can do is to double our population.
Robert Cox, is there a limit to the population the United States can sustain?
Well, first of all, I think Mr. Lamb might well be a U.S. senator today if he had done a better job being an environmental steward in Colorado. The Colorado voters have been emailing me about his candidacy, suggesting that his support of some ill-conceived water projects, such as Animas La Plata Dam, had cost him a lot of his support. The Sierra Club actually sued the governor to stop that dam. It has now proceeded, however, and his own state newspaper, the Rocky Mountain News, just reported it's now over budget by about 48%.
Fair enough, but he did win three terms. But what about this issue of sustainability? Is there a limit to a sustainable population? Is it a concern?
It is. Population per se is not the reason for poor air quality. Lack of fuel-efficient cars and Detroit's opposition to environmental rigor and standards in this country has a lot more to do with this than the number of people.
And what about this battle for control of the Sierra Club board? At this point, Robert Cox, how concerned are you, given your position, that this insurgent slate or group may take over the board? How large is that possibility?
Well, I think it's going to be a very close election. Mr. Lamb's a good candidate, but I have to say that if he succeeds and they seize control of this board, I fear that many of the senior staff, many of our activist leaders around the country will find this agenda so repugnant that they may well resign. This diverts us from our major environmental battle right now, which is a focus upon the Bush administration.
Robert Cox, thanks very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Robert Cox, a board member of the Sierra Club and president of the Sierra Club from 1994 to 96, and then again from 2000 to 2001, he joined us from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And Richard Lamb in Denver, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Tom, let me just quickly say that what you heard again is more environmental McCarthyism, because all I'm trying to do is bring the Sierra Club back to where it was in 1996.
We've got your perspective, and we thank you for being with us tonight. Richard Lamb, former three-term Democratic governor of Colorado, author of The Immigration Time Bomb, The Fragmenting of America. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.